Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's Light the Tower, your daily look around the world of sports with Hall of Fame broadcaster and voice of the Texas Longhorns, Craig Way, and Horns 24/7 insider, Jeff Howe, on your live, local, and independent home for sports talk in Austin, The Horn.
Second hour of Light the Tower on the Horn. 1049, 1019, AM 1260. We're live, local, and digital on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Craig Way, Jeff Howe alongside our producer, Cameron Parker, as well. Clean up from hour number one. Boy, I wish you could clean up the smoke from the wildfires, right? CB remembers when the smoke from the wildfires in Mexico would hover over Texas. It was. John DeBay asking if the cat contraception was a Bob Barker initiative. You said he was always big about on the prices.
Help control the pet population. Keep your pets spayed or neutered.
Yeah. So this is some scientific work that's been going on in Cincinnati, apparently.
Yeah, Sal, you're Sal in NYC. You're number one. So congratulations.
Somebody said, tell me the same umpires that called the Sinton Bernie series last week are calling the Sinton State semifinal game this week. What a disaster. I don't know. I don't know who those umpires were. I was down in South Florida. I didn't get to see that series. And today is the day when the UIL State Baseball Tournament's underway. We're going to get you some updates on that coming up here in our Flex 30 update.
Can I say that is one thing in our industry, whether I'm writing or doing this talk show, that I really don't care about is to know the names of the officiating or umpiring crews.
Really?
I shouldn't know your name. If I know your name, it's not good.
I understand your concept.
Yeah.
From the reference point of knowing the specific umpire, I don't have to know them by name, but it helps. For example, in umpiring, there were some umpires you knew had a tighter strike zone than others.
Baseball's the one where it might differ a little bit.
Yeah. Also, I would say this. Doug Sermons is one of the outstanding officials in college basketball. Works Final Fours frequently.
Yeah.
Doug Sermons is really good. Doug Sermons brooks little opposition. So if you're unhappy with how it's called, you have to know, I think, certain officials, how far you can push them or how aggressive you can be in stating your case. Put it that way. I would also tell you that there are certain officials who are very, very tolerant and don't mind if the coaching staff is kind of chirping at him. There are some officials that don't want an assistant coach saying word one to them.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time, those officials tell the head coach that, or the head coach already knows it. I don't want to hear it from your bench. I don't want to hear, you know, your dude keeping the book over there raising hell at me. I don't want to hear that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You got a beef, bring it to me. I'll listen. We'll talk. I don't want to hear it from an assistant. There are some officials who have that mindset.
Right.
And then there's some that will listen to everybody, and then there's some that don't want to listen to anything. Ted Valentine.
I'll look up the name when I need. That's on a need to know basis for me. I don't get into, well, this crew's working this game and this crew's working this game and Texas had this crew on such and such a date.
Right. Yeah, no, I get what you're saying. Who was it? Ed Warder, I guess, the ESPN reporter. Mm-hmm. Rick Gosling, Goose, that every year tweets out the officiating crews that work Cowboy games and what the Cowboys' record is when those crews are working those games. That might be a little over the top.
That's overcooking the bacon right there.
Yeah, that's so they'll do that. But I always find it helpful to know the umpire. I've gotten to know several of the umpires over the years, but I've gotten to know which ones have wider zones, which ones have tighter zones, which ones have more consistent strike zones, and which are all over the place. I'll never forget, there was a very affable umpire named Bob Homolka. Worked in the Big 12 for years and years, and Bob retired several years ago, but they had a big send-off for him. I remember it was a pre-tournament Big 12 conference tournament baseball tournament luncheon there in Oklahoma City 1 year. But Bob sometimes could be all over the road, to the point that if Keith Moreland was working the baseball broadcast with me and say, here's a pitch, that's a ball, okay, and then there'd be another one, I'd go, call that one a strike. Keith goes, flip a coin, Bob, just flip a coin. because you never knew for sure. I'll never forget the night when people ask me about memories of Longhorn baseball, and obviously the national championship series game against South Carolina in 02 and the national championship series against Florida in 05. Extremely memorable, the Super Regional in Oxford in 05, and then, of course, 09, the Cameron Rupp prodigious cloud homer followed by the Connor Mays walk-off there against Arizona State to get him to the championship.
Connor Rowe walk-off.
Yeah, I said Mays, didn't I? Yeah. That'd be real story if he did. He was a good pitcher.
Have a hell of a telling.
Yeah. I would, but anyway, I remember all of those. But some of the other memories are the real unique ones. We were talking about the 25th or 14th anniversary of the 2009 25 inning game, and the students who were doing the Miami radio broadcast were asking me about that game because they were looking up some other extra, and they were asking me about that. And so I was telling them some stories and things about that. But the other one that comes to mind was. In 2000, I believe it was in 2003. I'd have to look it up there. Keith Moreland and I doing the series at Kansas State, and that's where the Friday night game went 20 innings. And the game was almost not played because it was 38 degrees, and there were like some snow flurries in the area. This was in early April. And but they said, no, we're going to go ahead and play. And the game went 20 innings. And Bob Homolka was behind the plate. And so as the evening wore on and Keith was getting more and more frustrated with a lot of his calling, flip a coin, Bob. Well, the next night, Keith and I go into a restaurant there in Manhattan down in the Aggieville City, and there's Bob Homolka. He comes up, says hi, and he goes, hey, did I do all right last night? And I said, you mean in the game? He goes, yeah, because I really had trouble seeing the last five or six innings. I said, well, that's kind of a pretty important consideration, Bob. Yeah, no, I just had trouble seeing. So, that always comes to mind. Thinking
might
about
impact
that.
Things a little bit.
Just a little bit. All right. So, and again, the cleanup from hour number one, somebody said, Craig, is there a better sports town for its size than Texarkana? Pleasant Grove, Texas High, Liberty ILO, lots of state titles. There are several. But, I mean... Yeah, I understand what you're saying for its size. It's great high school football up there, no question about that. Let's see. I could hear the excitement in your voice calling Porter Brown's three home run game, wondering if you talked to the TC play-by-play caller about what it was like calling that three-homer, two-grand slam, 11 RBI game. That was Trey Richardson. I've not talked to Chuck LaMandola since then, but I probably should. He's a good dude, and I should probably check with him about that. As CB points out, last time Texas was in Omaha three straight times is when they went four straight times, 02 to 05, when they played for three national championships and won two. That's right. So here's somebody that said, I was one of those who stayed up for all 25 innings against BC, who stayed for all 25 innings at the game against BC, and then listened to you for 20 innings against Kansas State. Bless your heart. and thank you. I appreciate that. Okay, I wanted to get to this, this definition, because I'm eager to get Jeff's thoughts on this, because Jeff did a really eloquent job explaining the difference in talent versus player development and then culture. And you said that in your estimation, your view, your opinion, that Texas A&M doesn't have a talent problem or even a player development problem. You feel it's a culture problem.
Yeah.
In that, how do you...
Under, you know, I heard the same thing under Kevin Sumlin, and I heard the same thing under, you know, Dennis Franchione and R.C. Slocum. So this is not, and I think at times we've seen.
Not an original thought or an original issue?
We've seen during those runs that they've had times where their talent has been able to overcome bad culture. Very rarely does it happen. It just shows you how talented you have to be. I mean, that team Mike Sherman had with Ryan Tannehill and Von Miller, they went 9 games that year? Went to the Cotton Bowl and played LSU.
Right.
They've had times where they've been able to overcome their culture problems. And I don't think it was that way early on for Jimbo. But we saw it late for Sherman and Kevin Sumlin and those other guys. And I think to a lesser extent, RC, Dennis Franchione, certainly there was all kinds of issues there. But, yeah, I think that there's a culture problem at Texas A&M, because how else do you explain falling off a cliff like they did from the year you go 9-1? And it's not like they're any less talented now than they were then. But, you know, you have that one long season where you make a very strong argument A&M should have been in the playoff. And then where it kind of dropped off the year after, and then, you know, they're 4-8 last year. It's no different than what happened at Texas in 2010. And
so for those of you who feel that Jeff's just being, you know, bashing on Aggies, he's making a comparison.
And you realized real quick with that 2010 Texas season is that we got further removed from 09. You're like, dude, the trio of Colt McCoy, Jordan Shipley, and Will Muschamp, they masked a lot of deficiencies that program had.
Absolutely.
And those three guys, I'm not saying they're solely responsible, but they're three big reasons why that run of success Mac enjoyed lasted a lot longer than it probably otherwise would have. I think we would have seen a steady decline, but once two of those three were gone, we saw it just completely fall off a cliff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a leadership issue. And where I'm going with this, and this kind of leads into your overall question, Craig, culture is one of those things that I observed under Mac. Mac always talked about culture, need to get the culture right. Or Charlie talk about it, or Tom talk about it.
Correct.
Culture is one of those things that you never stop working on. And I think that's the big misconception about culture is you get it to a certain point and it's like, okay, culture's good. Don't have to worry about it anymore. No, you constantly have to cultivate it. You constantly have to be reinventing it. You constantly have to understand. To me, how I define culture, it starts with the head coach. Do you understand, relate to, and really care about the people in your building?
Okay.
Because I think when it starts with that and it's genuine, I think a lot of the other stuff that you can point to takes care of itself. Let me give you an example.
Okay.
I think this, I don't want to turn this into like a bash former Texas coaches segment, but you remember we heard that when Tom Herman met his demise here, we heard a lot of stuff come out, like he would pass guys in the hallway and not acknowledge them, and you had to be at a certain point on the roster to kind of be one of his guys, and it's not right or wrong, it's just the way Tom was. But I go back to, you know, I'm a firm believer in the football teachings of Jimmy Johnson. Love me some Jimmy Johnson. Mm-hmm. And it was on his Football Life documentary, which is fantastic. If anybody, mm-hmm. A Football Life is a great documentary series, but Jimmy's is just tremendous. And he was it was fishing out in the Keys with Bill Belichick. And they were just talking, it was just capturing them talking ball. And Jimmy said, when Jason Garrett got the Cowboys job, he said, the advice I gave him had nothing to do with football. He said, I told him, you better make sure you know everybody in the building. He said, because when you go up to that third string safety and he's in the cafeteria and you talk to him and you address him and he doesn't even know that you knew his name, that goes a lot further and is way more important than those X's and O's. Mm-hmm. That to me is when I think of good culture, I think of that statement right there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's true. Getting to know your people. That was one of the things that Mac was always great with, about knowing, you know, the people in the program. And I've noticed that with Sark as well, the people that he knows in the program and how he is with the other people there.
But I think you can look at now, and we're so far removed from it. And we, you know, to me, it's fresh, but you look at Mac at the beginning,
mm-hmm.
and then Mac towards the end.
Yeah.
The open door policy wasn't the open door policy anymore. I heard from assistant coaches where assistant coaches were saying, I have to schedule an appointment to meet with the head coach. Like, this is insane. I'm right down the hall.
Yeah.
It changed. And that's when stuff in Texas started to change. And culture is one of those things, when you lose it, it is extremely hard, if not impossible, to get it back. That's why Nick Saban is the way he is. Like, we can say a lot of things about Nick Saban, but you don't win as much as he has, as long as he has, without being able to constantly reinvent yourself and constantly thinking about culture.
Or at least adjust with the times.
Yeah.
You know, you don't have to blow everything up and do 180. Your point is just be able to grow with the times and adjust with the times.
Yeah. Rod mentioned this example yesterday. We talked about this a little bit on the Longhorn Blitz podcast. It's available anywhere you get your podcast, and actually you can hear it tonight here on the Horn. But Rod mentioned it, and we kind of put the pieces together during the podcast. Pete Carroll talked about when he went to San Francisco and got around Bill Walsh.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he didn't understand how important culture was. And that's when he decided, she said it just made him, Rod was telling us, he said when he got around Bill Walsh, it made him look at culture in a way that he never had before.
Mm-hmm.
Completely changed who he was as a coach. And you got to remember where Pete Carroll was coming from at that point. He had just gotten fired by the Jets as head coach. Went to San Francisco and was George Seifert's defensive coordinator. He was there for 2 years. The second year Pete Carroll was there, the Bill Walsh was back. I forget what the role was. It was like an administrative assistant. Okay, if you're Bill Walsh and you're running around the facility, you can basically do whatever the hell you want. Like, it doesn't matter. You don't need a title. But that's when Pete Carroll got around Bill Walsh, and it completely changed the way he thought about culture, because Bill Walsh, we're talking about the West Coast offense and his football genius and everything else, culture was at the forefront of what he built in San Francisco.
Yeah, sure enough. All right.
But I think that's what it is, Greg. People talk about recruiting and relationships. I think culture is relationships, too. Just let people know that you care about them and that you're genuine about it. And I think a lot of the other stuff takes care of itself.
Somebody pointing out to what you mentioned about 2010. 2010 was the mismanagement of the quarterback room. A&M also has a quarterback problem. That was one of the takes on that.
And you can look, Jimbo Fisher's quarterback evaluations, that's a different deal than we're talking about from the culture. But
right.
Kevin Sumlin had the same deal. He had Kyle Allen and Kyler Murray in the same quarterback room, and they didn't have either of them.
Yeah.
You know, so, and that's two guys. Say what you want about Kyle Allen. Guy started games in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Kyler Murray was the number one overall pick. So, yeah, it does get mismanaged. That's another thing that happens, that when things drop off, you can typically look at that position and a bad evaluation or mismanagement of it,
mm-hmm.
That's when things start to go wrong. But the root of it, usually when a dynasty or a program that's won a lot for a long time has sustained success, usually when it falls off, it's something similar.
Somebody asked, on the Jimmy Johnson documentary, did it show Jimmy chewing out Craig for eating in his meeting? All right, let me dispel some myths about this. It was not a meeting, okay? It was him and Brad Sham in this huge cavernous studio that were going to tape, record some things for show, but they were mapping out stuff. They were not recording. They were not on air. I was way on the other side of the room. And contrary to what my friends at the ticket said, it was not Funyuns. It was Munchos. Okay. When he turned around and said, "Do you want to eat or do you want to do that?" He goes, "Or I can just eat." And I was like, I'm never on.
What was the one where he got onto Ed Werder? Like, oh man, I've heard Craig Miller tell the story. It was the second year, I think.
Yeah.
Jimmy saying something serious and Ed Werder like coughed, laughed or something like unintentionally.
Is it funny, Ed?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was that.
I feel like that bottom lip started quivering. Like,
yeah.
Something funny, Ed?
I have nothing bad to say about Jimmy Johnson. He was so good to me that I ended up that's the grand irony. I ended up doing his show for 2 years afterwards, and he invited me to a couple of parties that other media were not invited to.
There you go.
He was good to me. He was really good to me.
Did you even get to drink the Heineken?
I did, over crushed ice.
That's how you know you're special. When Jimmy lets you in on drinking the Heineken, you're a made man. You were a made man, Craig, at Valley Ranch.
Yeah, yeah. So, I love this thing. Do you guys feel, listen to these words. This is so well put. Do you guys feel like cultural deterioration has happened with generational entitlement? Ring all the bells on that one for me. You know, that's I think there's something to it. That's another word, the E word, entitlement. That's another word that requires a lot of examination and things like that. So anyway, it's good.
But again, to put a bow on that, the two things I learned about culture, you never stop cultivating it. It's never done. The minute you think it's done, that's when you have a problem. And it's about people. At the end of the day, it's about people.
Cooter said, random question, is game bookkeeping gone digital? I used to keep game books for all the games I watch, but I had colored pencils for coding everything from type of pitch to missed calls, wondering if the digital game book would have made those options available. Most people still, as I reach for my scorecard of the last game with the Miami and the regional, most of these, I think, folks are still doing on their own. I know I keep my own, for those of you watching on Twitch. So this is my own specific scorecard, and I have it flip-sided like this. I feel like the anal retentive chef now. And we fold it, and we do that. Anyway, so then I score it myself on that, and I have the outfield.
And then here's the example of the stats feed that we get where you get the digital score.
Where it is digital. That's right.
And
on
I don't
the
have
stat
to do anything.
Monitor. On the stat monitor.
It does it for me.
Absolutely. But I like doing it as I go on the fly because I also score basketball games as I go as well. I have that chart
available. I can do it either way, honestly. I mean, you cover enough. If you cover enough high school football where you have to – you know, back in the day before I had access to the internet, you know, covering games, I had to like figure out my own stat sheets.
Sure.
And anybody that covered preps at that point before, you know, internet was readily available and Wi-Fi was readily available, you had to have your own way to accurately keep stats.
No question. Hey, I want to remind you that the Horns Golf Tour of Central Texas, powered by Callahan's General Store, it's on the move. And this time, out to check out Butler Pitch and Putt. Visit hornfm.com now. You can take a video tour with Aaron Hogan and, of course, our local good friend and pro, Omar Uresti. And Aaron and Omar took in a few holes at the Butler Pitch and Putt, the 9-hole par 3 course right there in the heart of Austin. So iconic. It's a perfect course for a casual game, great for beginners and golfers who love the short game. It's the Horn Golf Tour of Central Texas, powered by Callahan's General Store, spotlighting Butler Pitch and Putt at hornfm.com. Up next, we'll have our Flex 30 update and our second hour Longhorn Notebook when we continue to Light the Tower on the Horn.
Light the Tower with Craig Way and Jeff Howe.
This is Light the Tower on the Horn. Craig Way, Jeff Howe with you. We're going to have a second hour Longhorn Notebook coming up here momentarily.
Breaking news. I found the correct chair that I've been sitting in.
Oh, very good. That's good.
Oh,
there you
much
go.
Better.
Makes a big difference.
Yeah. Thank you, Cam. Yeah. I feel like I can. I feel like I'm eye level with Craig. I've been like looking up at Craig the whole show.
All right. We will transition into that after. We transition, first of all, into our Flex 30 update.
Flex ATX for the best high school sports coverage. Listen to the Horn and go to FLXATX.com. Flex 30 is brought to you by Brain Vault. Brain Vault is a revolutionary and patented mouth guard that has been proven to help reduce the risk of concussion. Visit BrainVault.com and join the movement.
Okay, UIL State Baseball Tournament is underway. There's already one final in the books. It's in the 1A state semifinals this morning. How about the Abbott Panthers? They reached the state championship in six-man football, and now they're going there in baseball.
The Fighting Willie Nelsons?
They won. The Panthers beat Kennard 5-4 at Del Diamond. They had a 9 a.m. first pitch this morning out at Del Diamond. So Abbott advances to the state championship, and I just want to take a look at this. Oh, they did it, a walk-off in the bottom of the seventh inning. So that's it. That's what I was kind of curious to see how it happened. In bottom of seventh, RBI single. So there it was. Oh, and so that's how it is. So congratulations to Abbott. They're going to the state championship. They beat Kennard, and they will take on the winner of the game that has yet to get underway. Second game is Nazareth and Fayetteville.
Go have a victory lunch at La Margarita or something.
All right. Meanwhile, the other ones, Nazareth and Fayetteville, I mentioned, is going to follow. Then over at UFCU Dish Falk Field, 1 o'clock, Liberty Ilo from the Texarkana area. We were talking about that area earlier, taking on Canyon Randall, Harlton, And Collinsville will play in the 2A semifinal, number one at Dell Diamond later this afternoon. Back at UFCU Dishfog Field for the second 4A semifinal at 4. Sinton, number one team in the state, and the defending state champions against China Spring. And then the second 2A semifinal this evening over at Dell will be Shiner and New Home. That's all today.
If you want to know where the hottest point in the city is, get down on the field at the Dish in the month of June. Dude, it's going to be...
There'll be some of that as well. Victor pointed out they went pretty far in basketball as well, Abbott did.
Bring your talcum powder and your electrolytes.
There you go.
Your Brondo. Make sure you got plenty on hand.
You know, Terry Crawford, who's the head football coach of the six-man state runner-ups, I think it's his son who's the baseball coach.
Oh, nice.
So there you go. Congratulations to them. All right, there's your Flex 30.
Actually, I have one more, Craig, and this this is poignant to you. I'll make this quick.
Okay.
Somebody that we both know very well, Greg Carter, who was my head football coach in Florence, coached your son, Coach Jason, at Vista Ridge.
Yeah.
Announced yesterday he's retiring.
Oh.
36 years.
Well, happy retirement
from
to him.
Teaching and coaching. Taught me a lot of really good life lessons back in the day at Florence America. So, Coach, I know you listen to this program every now and then.
Congratulations
on a great career. A lot of stops along the way. A lot of lives impacted positively. And coaching profession will miss you, but best to you in retirement.
Yeah, absolutely. Congratulations on that. Somebody said, not La Margarita, Jeff. Remember the Round Rock baseball team a few years back getting food poisoning there before? Listen, I've been to La Margarita a few times there. Roger and Tammy Wallace are regulars over there at La Margarita. They love it. Sometimes it takes an event like that to get everything right.
Man, anytime I'm in that area of Williamson County, which isn't very often anymore, I try to go over there.
Yeah.
They do something with their tortillas. I don't know what they do. It's a texture thing with their tortillas it's really flipping good. So
it's time now to get to our Longhorn Notebook.
Jeff Howe's Longhorn Notebook.
Hey, our man CB on the Specs text line says it was 9 years ago today when they were showing Texas getting to the College World Series for the 35th time. That was after beating Houston in the Super Regional at UFCU Dishfog Field. Now, before we get to you have another item or two, don't you? For the notebook?
I was just going to mention real quick that we didn't touch on this and it came down yesterday, but it's been done for a long time. It was just announced yesterday that Roddy Terry's staff
has been finalized.
Frank Haith has been on the job since like the second week of April, but here we are in June and it's finally official.
Yeah.
Brandon Chappelle staying on. Steve McClain is now gone from special assistant to an assistant coaching role. And I saw some people like, oh man, why wasn't Ogden? He got a demotion. No, Chris Ogden did not get a demotion. He is the general manager. If you remember, he was the what was Augie's title? The managing director.
He was managing director
before
now
the coaching
general
change.
Manager.
This is because it takes him from being one of the coaches who's a countable coach to be on the road recruiting.
Right.
That's why he's in the off-court role.
That's exactly right. So he's pretty excited about that. Yeah. Hey, somebody mentioned it was a norovirus from an employee that they knew was sick, if I remember correctly. Some of that thing that happened several years ago.
La Margarita to Gerard Hurd and Will Muschamp as things that will not be slandered as long as I'm part of the show.
Okay. Hey, I want to get to baseball. Somebody said any preview on pitchers that will face in Palo Alto, talking about Stanford. You're going to see Quinn Matthews at some point, but I don't think it'll be game one because the dude threw a ton of pitches over the weekend.
You don't think he'd go on Saturday?
Uh-uh. I'll be surprised if he does. He pitched twice in the regional, threw 114 pitches the first game, then came back and threw a bunch on Monday night. I don't think he'll go Saturday.
So probably if he goes Sunday, that'd be 5 full days of rest.
Yeah, I think he'll go Sunday. But they've got a couple other guys that I think would be candidates for game one. Like for example, and Matthews is the lefty. The other two guys are Matt Scott and Joey Dixon. I think it's going to be Dixon who threw a ton of pitches. He's 6-0 with a 4.99 ERA, and he's worked 74 innings. Or it could be Matt Scott, who did see some action on Monday. Scott, a right-hander, 5-3 with a 4.87 earned run average. I think it's going to be one of the two right-handers is what we'll probably be talking about there for those guys. All right, there's one other thing I want to get to and see if I can get to a point of clarification. I have always said, and I firmly believe this, that If I make a mistake on the air, I want you to let me know, because as a play-by-play broadcaster, we all strive to make sure that we are, if we're worth our salt at all, that we're accurate, that we're correct, that we're doing things the right way. In the 9-run Texas third, I want to give you a little context, and then I'm going to get to this.
Can I say this real quick before you start? And I know we criticize play-by-play guys, like it's just part of the business, like we do. We have our favorites, and we have folks that sure. we really don't care for them sure. calling games. I've seen you prep, and I've seen other play-by-play guys prep. It is an extremely difficult job. Radio more so than TV, because you're having to provide the visual,
paint the picture,
rather than everybody looking at the visual with you. So,
and that's what makes it very rewarding.
I'll say too. that, in the words of your colleague Brad Champ, with that as the backdrop.
Yes, against that backdrop and armed with that information.
Yes.
This involves the 9-run third for Texas. Now, I've got my scorecard right in front of me, since we were talking about scorecards. I'm going to tell you about a little bit about that 9-run third in case you didn't hear how it all broke down.
I've got my digital scorecard in front of me.
Good. All right. On this, the inning began with Jalen Flores striking out looking. So it started off with that. Then Jack O'Dowd blooped a single into right.
Mm-hmm.
Mitchell Daly drew a walk. And this, by the way, speaks to how that bottom of the order really competed well and contributed during the course of the regional. Jared Thomas comes up and lines an RBI double to right. So it drove in Jack O'Dowd. It sent Mitchell Daly to third. Peyton Powell comes in 0 for the regional at that point, 0 for 9 in a walk, and comes up with an RBI single to score Daly. So two runs across the plate. Now it's 3-3. Dylan Campbell comes to the plate. All right, Powell's the runner at first. Dylan Campbell is the runner at the plate. Dylan Campbell is. At that point, Campbell still has not extended his hitting streak. It's sitting at 37 games. Now, we had somebody on the Specs text line who said, and I'm reading your text, one rare mistake Craig made in the Miami game is when the UT player extended his hitting streak with a hit and was so excited to tell us the streak and record continued, but failed to mention where the runner already on first made it to third or not until a little pause. Now, we've actually pulled the play-by-play cut. I want you to listen to it. First of all, see if I actually pause on this deal.
I didn't listen to this during the break for the record.
Secondly, what does your play-by-play say of the Campbell at bat on there when you look at it digitally, Jeff? What does it read to you?
The Dylan Campbell AB reads single.
Uh-huh. What does it say about Powell?
Powell, 2 RBI single.
No. When Campbell gets the hit, what does it say about Powell?
It doesn't. I have to go to the play. This is why I don't like the digital scorecard, because I got to go to the play, the actual play-by-play.
Go
law.
To the play-by-play on that.
Let's see. Campbell singles to left. Powell advanced to second.
Okay. So, again, the texter saying, was so excited to tell us the streak record continues, but failed to mention where the runner on first made it to third or not until a little pause. I had to think about this. I thought, did Peyton Powell make it to third base and I incorrectly said second? Here's the call.
Here's the stretch from Gallo in the 2-1. Swung on, and that ball is hit toward the alley in left center. It'll fall in for a base hit. Dylan Campbell continues the streak. 38 games and counting for the Big 12's all-time hitting streak record holder, Campbell, with a one-out single. The runners at first and second.
So, that was the actual call. First of all, to the texter, it was not, the runner didn't reach third, it was second. You had me thinking, did I incorrectly say he was at second when he was at third? No, he was at second, not third. Secondly, was there a pause?
No.
No.
I mean, did I pause? Was I so excited about? I mean, obviously excited to talk about Dylan Campbell extending his record, but I think I had it all within the context. Play it one more time, Cam. Let me see if I'm off here.
Here's the stretch from Gallo in the 2-1. From the 2-1, swung on, and that ball is hit toward the alley in left center. It'll fall in for a base hit. Dylan Campbell continues the streak. 38 games and counting for the Big 12's all-time hitting streak record holder, Campbell, with a one-out single. The runners at first and second.
Was there a pause there? I didn't think. I mean, other than my normal taking a breath as I'm rolling through the dialogue, I didn't know that. But like I said, I don't I don't shy away from anything. If you think I've said something wrong or did something wrong, let me hear about it.
Who cut those highlights? Was that Jumpin' Jack Farrell that did that?
That was Happy Jack Farrell who did that.
He's very good at that.
Yeah.
Shout out to Jack Farrell.
Yeah.
And I can confirm that because I pulled up the Texas Baseball Twitter account, which has the TV feed from the Garrett Gilmet base hit. Shows Campbell on first, Powell on second.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure about that. So to the texter. Okay.
Now, Craig, if Powell had a chance of scoring, you're going to call that
differently.
Absolutely.
Powell being waved to the plate. Peyton Powell is not going to go from first to third that often on a single. I'm just saying that, okay?
Well, if he does, we've got a pretty decent story on our hands.
To me, the biggest
Eric
story.
Eric Kennedy, yes. Jared Thomas, absolutely. Peyton Powell, no. So that's why I thought, did he really go to third and I missed it? No, he went to second there. So anyway, so the texter, if that makes you feel any better at all by actually hearing the actual call, I didn't think I actually paused. I did say, now maybe it could be that the texter was anxious to hear what and didn't hear it exactly in the instantaneous second that he wanted to hear it when I was talking about the deal. If that's what you mean by that, okay, fine. I'm guilty as charged. I was saying that he's extended the hitting streak, which is an all-time record. But before the call was over, obviously, I did mention that he was at
Cameron,
second
base. You looking forward to carrying on the play-by-play career to this point and dealing with some of this?
Oh, yeah. It's part of the job.
I'll bet you've probably gotten feedback doing Ryan Rodriguez. But hey, what did you say that for?
Yeah.
Have you gotten some of that?
Oh, yeah.
It comes with – listen, it's like the great – late, great Frank Luxa, or before him, Steve Perkins, Dallas Cowboys weekly editor all those years, when Nate Newton said at the time, we don't want to be role models. And Steve Perkins said, it came with the meal. Meaning if you go to, you know how you go to a banquet sometimes, you got to listen to a long-winded speech, but it came with the meal.
Yeah.
You know, the critique and criticism that comes from folks listening to do that, you know, the critique and the criticism that comes from it comes with the responsibility of calling the game. I've always accepted that.
I don't have
any problem with that. It did make me want to go back and listen to make sure I factually the number one thing for me was to make sure I factually had the correct placement of the runner. And fortunately, I'm glad to learn by listening back to it again that I did. But I just wanted to, the rest I think is interpretation about how long did it take me to actually mention that he was there when I was mentioning that. So that's okay. Not a problem with that. Okay, somebody went, no pause. He may have wanted the play-by-play before the statement of the hit streak stat recognition. Yeah, I agree with that. So there you go. Tom McKay, Craig, you're a god, small g. Don't pay attention to idiots who look for flaws. And yes, I follow my own advice.
Hey, by the way, Tom McKay, hope you're doing okay. Saw the Facebook photos of that auto accident the other day.
I've said it before, and I'll say it again. Well. You guys attract the dumbest listeners of Texas. Someone was worried about his call. No, and then somebody got T-bone.
Words on the
somebody worried about
ours.
Nitpicky. I won't say the other stuff. Pardon my French. No, listen. Like I said, I don't have a problem with that. I really don't. If somebody because I want to make sure I'm doing my job right. For those who have been very very nice and all that stuff, saying nice things. It's through constant critique and self-criticism that we can only get better at doing what we do. So I'm okay with all that. Don't worry about it. I just want to make sure I had the placement of the runner correctly. The rest is the stylistic of the deal. And as you pointed out, Jeff, there are some people who will not like certain play-by-play calls simply from either their voice intonation, their dialect, the rhythm and cadence. There's some people that just they won't like that particular
scripted
way.
Stuff.
Yeah,
Jim Nance.
They're not going to like it no
Joe
matter
Tessitore.
What.
Yeah.
So I get it. I understand. We'll be back to wrap up today's edition of Light the Tower on the Horn. Hey, we're out of time for today. Jeff will be in tomorrow. He has one appointment. Then he'll be in after. I'll be traveling with the Longhorn baseball team to Palo Alto. I'll be out there to bring you the program on Friday, so we'll look forward to that. I really, as always, appreciate all the feedback, the texts, and commentary as well. Good to hear, by the way, our friend Tom McKay went out and got himself a new car. He had a nasty wreck the other day, so his life is good, no doubt. Hey, stay tuned now. Chad and Zay are up next for a man behind the glass, a producer. Cameron Parker. And from a co-host, Jeff Allen Craigway, thanks for joining us. We'll visit with you next time on Light the Tower.